I'm very, very honored to be here. I am, I was thinking as Brother Mike was speaking about that first time that I preached here, and, you know, it was about 2 or 3 years later that I came out and preached, and one of you men told me that was the first time that you guys had met together, and I didn't know that the night I preached for you, you know. And now to be here preaching these ordination messages with Brother Kevin, I just see the Lord's hand in that. And just never ceases to amaze me what the Lord does. So I'm honored. I'm honored to be here to bring these messages. The Lord promised. He promised his people, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Melinda and I and the church at New Jersey are thankful, very thankful to the Lord that he has fulfilled that promise for you, giving you Brother Kevin and his dear wife Kimberly. They have been very faithful members of our congregation. Very, very faithful members. They're there every time the door is open. They have their family there. And anything that needs to be done, Brother Kevin is there to help. Kimberly's there to help. They've just been faithful members of our congregation. Fit so well with our congregation. And we love them. And the congregation loves them. I love them. So it's going to be hard to see them go. But I wouldn't change it, though. I'm thankful the Lord has sent them here, sent them for you. And I'm very thankful for that. And we pray for you. And I look forward to years and years down the road of a long fellowship between our congregation and this congregation. I hope I can come out to see you more often, and you can come see us more often too. I would like that. So I'm very thankful for you. I'm very, very thankful for you. And Brother Don asked me to tell you that he so wanted to be here. You know, he sent you an email, I know, and he would love to be here. And he's so very excited for you at the prospect of what God will do here and with a populated area like this. And I'm excited for you, too. I really am. And tonight I'll be preaching to your pastor. But it's for you, too. And I want you to hear the weighty responsibility that God gives to his pastor, because then it'll help you so when tomorrow night we're reminded of the weighty responsibility God gives us as his church to the pastor, and that'll help. So I want you to hear tonight this weighty responsibility God gives to his pastor. I'm going to read tonight. And I'm going to begin in John chapter 1, and I want to read verses 6 and through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. My subject is a charge to a pastor. Paul said to young Timothy, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge thee. Before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is a charge before God and the Lord Jesus to you. As the pastor of San Diego Grace Fellowship, it's imperative for you to remember these things that we're going to talk about tonight. And I'll give you the notes to this message. I'll send them to all of you. And I'll do the same for the message tomorrow night. And I would encourage you to read the notes and listen to this message at least once a year. I go back and listen to the ordination message Brother Don preached for me. I read it and listen to it multiple times in a year. And I encourage you to do that. First of all, always remember who sent you to be a pastor. Don't ever forget who sent you to be a pastor. We read here in verse 6, there was a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. Everything in the salvation of God's people is of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father chose who He would have mercy on. He chose who He would save by His free and sovereign grace before this world was made. God the Son came forth and He successfully accomplished the redemption of His people. He accomplished the redemption of His people. And each one that God chose, each one that the Redeemer has bought with His blood, God the Holy Spirit shall regenerate them and give them faith to believe on Christ. And they'll be kept, and not one will be lost. And because everything in salvation is of God, God has been pleased to save the way He will save. And the way God has chosen to save is through the foolishness of preaching. Just using a man, just another sinner saved by grace. But using him to preach the Word of God. And that's how God saved. Not just in the first hour He gives you faith, but until the end. God saves His people through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. That's what God chose to do. Some people will say, well, that limits God. That doesn't limit God. If God tells you how He's going to save you, and then He works everything in providence to save that one way, that's magnifying the sovereignty of God. And this is how God saves. So God sends His true pastors. It's God who makes the pastor and sends His true pastors. A sinner that's saved is saved by the grace of God. God saves him. God does everything from beginning to end. And likewise, a preacher that God uses, a pastor that God makes, it's God who sends that pastor. It's God who makes him, gifts him, and sends him. God does that. It's God who does it. God chose His Son, and He chose a people in His Son, and when the time came, God sent. He sent forth His Son. And likewise, before He sent His Son, God sent a man named John to preach the gospel, to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. You've heard of the old days, the criers that would go through a town and they would cry when the king's coming. The king's coming to let the town folk know the king's coming through town. Before the King of Kings comes into the heart of a sinner, He will send His preacher preparing the way, preaching the word, and the king's coming to town. And He sends that preacher. God sends that preacher at His ordained time. And just like He sent Christ to a particular people to save a particular people, God sends His preacher to His particular church, to His assembly that He's assembled, and He puts those hearts together. God does that. He does that. It was ordained from before the world. It was ordained by God before the world was made who His pastor will be. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. That's what, if you're God's man, this is what God is saying to you. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and I sanctified you. I set you apart, and I ordained you to be my preacher in San Diego, California, before you ever came forth. Paul said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of His power. Now, why am I saying all this to you, Kevin? So, when you get to feeling too big for your britches, you can remember you didn't have anything to do with becoming a pastor. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. God made you a pastor. God gifted you. God did. God gets the glory for making, sending, sustaining, and preaching His pastor. God gets the glory. He gets the glory. God's pastor, first and foremost, is the servant of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That means your allegiance, first and foremost, has to be to God your Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you do all things as unto God our Savior who sent you. Everything. And when you have a decision to make, before you make the decision, think about who sent you. Before you have to say anything to anybody, think about who sent you. Remember whose you are and who sent you, and that you're His servant. Remember that. And remember, you will give an account to God. You will give an account to God. Go to Ezekiel chapter 3. I read this passage right here often. I read it often. Ezekiel 3. I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just going to read part of it to you, but you get the gist. You can read the rest later. Ezekiel 3, and look at verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Remember when Paul said to Ephesus, I'm free from your blood? That's what he's talking about right there. He preached the gospel to them. He preached gospel to them, and he was free from them. Because he told them, he got the word from God, and he delivered it to them. Remember who sent you. Now, secondly, not only remember who sent you, but remember also what God sent you to do. Remember what He sent you to do. In John 1, verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. God told Ezekiel, hear the word at my mouth, and give it to them from me. That's what God said. That's what He said to them. It's God's word we are to preach. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, that means when you feel like you have a live coal from off the altar, and you're all ablaze and you're coming to preach. And that means when you feel like you're cold as ice and you're wading through molasses, you still get up and preach. Preach the word. Preach the word. And I'll tell you something about this reproving and rebuking and exhorting. First of all, it's with all long suffering. It's with all long suffering. And secondly, it's with doctrine. It's with this book. It's with this word. It's not with our own word. It's with this word. It's with this word. You know, when you're, if any of you've ever chopped wood before, if the axe is really, really sharp, it doesn't take nearly as much effort to chop the wood. If you preach the word, it doesn't take all this extra effort of going around and trying to rebuke personally and reprove personally and all that that you see the world doing. Preach the word. Preach the gospel of Christ and crucified, and God will reprove. He'll rebuke in the heart. And while I'm thinking of this, I'll say this to the church. One, remember this man's got to give account. Remember he's got to give account to the Lord. And two, remember this. If you're sitting there listening to a message and you feel rebuked, you feel like he's got a camera in your house and he's been listening to what you've been saying, he's just preaching the gospel. That's why I like going through a book. That way nobody can accuse you of jumping around and just preaching at them. I'm just preaching the next passage in the book. When you ever feel that way, remember, this might be God speaking to me. Might be God speaking to me. If you're here, it is. Remember that. Remember that. My neighbor called me over to her house one day, and she meant well. She's an elderly lady, and she was getting preparing herself to move. And so she's getting rid of a lot of the things that she had. And she called me over, and she had this big pile of books. And she said, "Clay, I want you to take these books. I want you to read these." She said, "I think these will help you have some fresh material for preaching." You know, Kevin, if you gave a letter, or if I gave a letter to say I gave a letter to Mike, and I want him to go and take this letter, and I want him to go to Mark's house with it, and I want him to read the letter, and I want him to help Mark understand what I'm writing, I don't want Mike to go over there and just make up his own words. I want him to go over there and read my letter and use whatever words he needs to use to help Mark understand what my letter says. That's what I want him to do. This book right here is what we're to preach. I can remember how many years I spent going to this book and trying to figure out what to preach and just wasting all this time and all this energy and all this pressure trying to figure out, what am I going to say about this? And one day God said, just say what it says. Just say what it says. That's the message that blessed my heart when I hear a man preach and he just tells me what the passage says. And it's like the heavens open up and God speaks into your heart and you look at it and you say, there it is, it says that. He's not telling you anything new. He's just telling you what it says. But God's speaking it to you and you see what it says. That's all there is to it. You preach what God says preach. Don't preach something new. Preach what God says preach. And in Nehemiah, he said of God's ministers, they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense, and they caused them to understand the reading. Don't we complicate everything? We make everything harder than it has to be. Now, I'm not suggesting that preaching's easy, but we make it harder than it has to be. God sends His pastor to preach the Word of God. He doesn't send His pastor to be original. He sends him to preach the Word of God. That means you have to give yourself to study this book. You have to give yourself to study this book. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Did you catch that? Now, he didn't say show yourself, study to show yourself approved unto men. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're not trying to impress men. You should be way more concerned about what God thinks about you preaching than about what men think about it. If you do, you'll preach the word. What you hear going on in the world where men are standing up and well, I just don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend God. God's preacher don't want to offend God. I'd a whole lot rather offend you than I would offend God. And you just go ahead and mark it down. You preach the word of God. You tell sinners they're totally depraved. You tell sinners they can't keep the law. You tell sinners they can't keep it before conversion. They can't keep it after conversion. You tell them that sin's mixed with all they do. You tell them that they're worms. You tell them that they're nothing but dust. You're going to offend somebody. You preach this word, you're going to offend somebody. Ralph Bonner used to say, every time he preached, somebody gets mad, glad, sad. And that's what's going to happen. People are going to get mad, glad, sad when you preach. And you've been a soldier now of this country. Now you're a soldier for God. And Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You can't be out running around from house to house to house. I'm not saying don't visit with your folks. You should visit with the brethren. But that's not your primary responsibility. Your primary responsibility is to be standing here with a word from God for their heart that glorifies Him. And if men did more time in their studying this word, and less time out running around trying to corral people, they wouldn't have to be out running around corralling people. You preach the gospel, you exalt Christ before His people, and He will work obedience in the heart of His people. What was it that saved us in the first hour? We heard the message of how the Lord Jesus Christ came and took flesh and laid down His life for His people and accomplished our redemption. We heard the message that exalted Christ Jesus the Lord. And here we are, rebels against God, dead sinners who hate God. And what did He do? He made you bow and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we preach anything else? Why would we try any other method? Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He wasn't worried about offending anybody. He said, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made Him both Lord and Christ. And He's the one shedding forth this which you now see and hear. And what happened? The Lord pricked them in their heart. Saved 3,000 people that day. Why would we preach anybody else but Christ? That means being in this Word, studying this Word, and not out doing other things. I told my wife one day, before we got a building, I didn't have an office to go to. And that's a very trying thing on a man. A man needs to go someplace to work. You need to get up, leave the house, and go somewhere to work. I'm glad to see you got a place you can come to, because you need that. She's going to need that. And you need it. But I sat for 10 years in the same chair every day studying the Scriptures. And I told Linda, my wife, I said, I've spent 10 years in that chair right there. I mean it, 10 years in that chair every single day in that same chair. You're going to need to be in that chair every single day in there and study this Word. If you're going to earn their heart and their respect and you want to be in a place where these folks right here would do anything in the world for you to help you, you be in that studying and come here with a full table spread to preach for. And you will. You will. God bless it to their heart. And now that means something else too. Not only do you have to give yourself to study, you have to be always in prayer to God. I was glad to see that article that Mike put in the bulletin. You should get that and read that article on prayer. So don't forget this. You're going to have to ask God that you come in here to preach to His people. And you're going to have to ask God, what would you have me preach this week? You're going to have to ask Him. And you're going to have to, when you've got the text that you believe you should preach, before you go to Gill, before you go to Spurgeon, go to the one who wrote it. Go to him. And ask him what it means. Ask him to give you the message out of it. And then when you have the message, you're going to have to ask him to give you the ability to preach it. And the people ability to hear it. I can't stress to you enough how important it is, not just to study, but to ask God, to be in prayer to God to give you the message. I recall one time, I'd been studying and studying and studying. And I could not get a message all week. I mean, I had been studying and studying, and I couldn't get a message all week. And I don't recall if I ever asked God for a message. I don't recall asking God that week to give me a message. I don't recall praying to God at all. And it got down to the 11th hour. I mean, it got down to the point, it was Saturday night, and I didn't have a message. And when I say physically, I got on my face on the floor and was begging God to give me a message. I couldn't write fast enough. It came so fast. The scripture jumped out at me, and there it was. And I don't think I'd prayed all week for a message. The message we're to preach from this book is God's Son. Paul said, I was separated unto the gospel of God, and he tells us what that is, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 1, verse 2. That's what the gospel is, Jesus Christ, his Son. When I'm preaching on the first creation, I'm going to preach all things were created by Christ and for Christ, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. Why is it so important to preach Christ as the creator of the first creation? So I can preach and show you the reason he's the creator of the first creation is because God put it all into his hands before this world was made, and he's the creator of the new creation. He's the one who creates his people anew in righteousness and true holiness through his blood and his righteousness. Just like he created that first creation, he's the one that creates the new creation. New Jerusalem, made up of everybody that he saved by his blood. If I'm preaching out of the old covenant law, I'm going to go and I'm going to use the Ten Commandments lawfully. I'm going to use them to declare sinners guilty. The law was given that the offense might abound. That's why it was given. And I'm going to preach the law and shut sinners up in their sin using the law. And I'm going to preach Christ Jesus, who is the righteousness of that law. That one who kept it perfectly. The fulfillment of the law is love. He fulfilled it by laying down his life for his Father and his people in perfect love by being made sin for his people and redeeming us from the curse of the law. That was the perfect love that it took to fulfill that law. And I'm going to preach the ceremonies, and I'm going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ as the picture in all the ceremonies. He's the high priest. He's the lamb. He's the mercy seat. He's everything in the old covenant. I'm going to preach Christ, Christ, Christ. People want to, you reform folks and what have you, they're going to always side with Moses and the law against Christ. They always do that. They always do that. But they don't believe Moses and the law. They don't want to glorify the law. You know how I know that? Because Christ stood one day toe-to-toe with some Pharisees who did the very same thing. They said, we have Moses and the law. They're rejecting God himself in human flesh for the law, for their works. And Christ said, if you had believed Moses, you don't believe Moses. You don't believe anything Moses wrote. If you had, what'd he tell them? You'd have believed me because he wrote of me. They didn't believe Moses. These folks who claim they want to honor the law and they're so concerned about the law. Oh, are you saying a man can just break the law? No, I'm saying a man can't keep it. I'm saying there's only one that ever did. And I'm honoring the law. I'm telling you it's got to be kept. And it's got to be kept perfectly. And the only one that ever did it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way a sinner does it is through faith in Christ. That's the only way. If you read Romans 3, the last verse of Romans 3, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Through faith, we establish the law. Don't stop reading there. Go into the next chapter. Even as Abraham did. And he lived 430 years before the law was given at Mount Sinai. You mean a man could fulfill the Ten Commandments 430 years before he ever even heard of those Ten Commandments? How could a man do that? Same way we do it today, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And then if I'm going to preach from the New Testament precepts, there's a lot of precepts in the New Testament. I'm going to declare that those that Christ has taken up mastery in their heart, we're no longer the servants of sin. We're the servants of righteousness now. But here's what I'm going to do. It's what you got to do. You got to first say and make sure sinners understand we cannot ever be saved. We can't be made righteous. We can't contribute to our sanctification by keeping these precepts. We can't. Because sin's mixed with everything we do. We've broken every one of those New Testament precepts. We've not kept any one of them perfectly. And we can't come to God and seek acceptance by our obedience to those precepts. You gotta tell sinners that. If you don't, you're going to leave them thinking that that's going to contribute to their salvation. Second thing you got to do, you got to show them how Christ fulfilled all those precepts. And He's the righteousness of every one of them. And then give them the precept and exhort them to do what it says, because then they'll be constrained by the love of Christ in their heart. Then the believer's going to be looking to Christ to give him the strength to do that. The believer's going to have a motive that's a right motive, that he wants to do that, not because he has to do it, but because Christ has redeemed him and he wants to do it for his Redeemer. You got to preach them that. That's the thing. That's the problem with what you hear men preaching is they preach those precepts. I don't have a problem with preaching those precepts. I have a problem with the way they preach them, because they leave the sinner thinking, oh, that's how I'm going to be saved, keeping these precepts. No, sir. No, sir. You know what the purpose of them are? You know what the purpose of those precepts are for? So that you don't do anything in a way that draws attention to yourself, so as to magnify you, or a way that draws attention to yourself so as to bring reproach on the gospel. You don't want to draw attention to yourself at all. That's what the purpose of all those precepts are, because your job is to hold forth Christ and Him crucified in this perverse generation. And you want them to see Christ. I didn't say you want to see Christ in you. You want them to just see Christ in the gospel. You don't want them to see you at all. Somebody asked a preacher one time, well, what's the secret to preaching the gospel? Make yourself invisible, number one. Number two, make yourself invisible. And number three, make yourself invisible. Don't you begin to focus. And that's my third point here. Remember what you are and what you are not. Remember what you are and what you are not. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John wasn't the focus. He wasn't sent to be the focus. He was sent to be a servant. A servant. That they might hear the gospel of Christ the light. Remember that. About 12 years ago, I had some members that were coming and they just were not faithful. They were missing services. And I found myself, it hurts so badly when you prepare messages and you labor, you're praying for the different members and you come to the pulpit and they're not there. And that hurts. It really does. If you know, it's you, sometimes people are going to miss. You got different things. But I'm talking about when it's ongoing, you know, and it's ongoing and they're not there. That hurts. That hurts your pastor. And I found myself 12 years ago, I was right where you're at, and I was a new pastor. And I found myself, when folks would come, I found myself wanting to scold them from the pulpit for not being there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember who you are. You're not the light. You can't force obedience in anybody. And if you force obedience in somebody and they're just doing it for you, they're not doing it for God. He's the only one that can give them obedience in the heart. When you come to the pulpit, if the unfaithful ones are being unfaithful, preach to the faithful ones, the ones that are there. And if the unfaithful ones show up, preach Christ to the unfaithful ones. But just preach Christ and wait on Christ to do the work in the heart. And don't try to, you know, if there's an issue that comes up, don't preach on it right away. Don't preach on it while it's fresh. Because a man can't hear that. If you preach on something that's fresh, we can't sit there and hear that. You're going to know the preacher's preaching right at you. And that just ruins it. You can't hear the message then. Give it some time. Maybe give, write down what the Lord's giving you at that time. But give it some time. And down the road, preach on it. When it's not fresh anymore. Then they'll hear it. Then they'll hear it. If you try to preach on it fresh, there's too much flesh in that. There's too much flesh in that. You're going to have your flesh in it too much, and the Lord's not going to bless it. You're not going to bless it. Give it time. You're just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, just like John was. Just like John was. You know, the Scripture says a pastor, he cannot be a novice. That means new to the faith. He can't be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. But be sure to understand this. It's not only a novice that the devil's going to try to puff up in pride. We all, by nature, in our flesh, every believer is nothing but pride. And you give a man a new office, you give a man a new title, and the devil's going to appeal to that pride. He's going to. He did to me, he's going to you. I guarantee you. But always remember that you are a servant. Just remember that. You're a servant. You're a servant. When you feel puffed up in pride, go to a restaurant. I don't mean a fancy restaurant. I mean go over to the Waffle House and sit down and at a table. And when that server comes up and serves you, sit there and eat. And watch that server serve you. And remember, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. A servant of God the Father, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a servant of these brethren. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We call pastors ministers, and I think we forget the meaning of what a minister is. Whosoever will be chief among you, Christ said, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. In the world, greatness is to be served. In God's kingdom, to be chief is to serve you, brethren. To be, our Lord Jesus Christ came and made himself the least. There's nobody ever that has been the least to the degree that Christ made himself the least. When you're hanging on a cross, body, visage marred more than any man in history ever. And you're hanging between heaven and earth. And God's forsaken you. And your apostles have turned their back on you. And God's taken the restraints off of wicked men and let them unleash hell on you. And you're doing that to honor the justice of God? And you're doing that to justify those that you love from eternity? That's one who made himself the least to a degree nobody ever did. Serving to a degree nobody ever did. And Christ said, he that's least in the kingdom of God is the greatest. And there he is. Both of them, right there. Made himself the least, and he's the greatest. If you want to go up with God, go down. And serve. I'm the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. You're an under-shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. You know what that word shepherd means? It means pastor. He's the pastor who is God. He's the chief shepherd. You're an under-shepherd. And remember, Christ sent you to serve those. Now remember this. He sent you to serve those that God chose from the foundation of the world and loves everlastingly. He sent you to serve those that Christ poured out His life's blood for. Those He purchased. Paul said, feed the flock of God, the church of God. It's not your church, it's God's church. Feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You're serving those that are the purchased possession of Christ, your Redeemer, of your Master. And remember this, Christ said, what we do to them, we do to Him. They're one with Him. And what you do to them, you do to Him. How's God's pastor serve? Christ said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. How did Christ do it? He willingly took the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation and humbled himself. Now, if we know, if somebody's confided in us and we know a secret about somebody, one of the surest ways that we prone to want to make ourselves of reputation is to tell some secret thing that we know. Tell it to somebody else. Let me tell you what I know. Listen, these folks are going to confide in you. Don't betray that trust. There's things that will have to be between you and that brother or that sister and God. And you can't tell nobody. You can't tell anybody because you change how that other brother or sister looks at them. You can't tell this dear lady right here because it'll change how she looks at them. You've heard Don talk about it being a lonely place. But remember, Christ said, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. If you want to talk to somebody about it, go talk to him about it. He made himself of no reputation. A pastor, faithful pastor, he's not going to try to put himself on a pedestal. When they came to arrest Christ, Judas had to kiss him because they couldn't tell him from the other people. He's not going to try to set himself apart. He's not going to be arrogant in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. He's not going to preach down to God's people. When you're preaching here about what sinners we are, don't talk about what sinner you are. Talk about what sinners we are. When I first moved to New Jersey, I came out of a church with a lot of young people, and we was always jawing back and forth, you know, and one of them would try to cut one, you'd cut them right back, you know, and we was always joking back and forth. You know how young folks are. It didn't take me long as a pastor to realize I got to learn to listen more and talk less. You want to know why? One of the reasons why people thought so much of Pastor Henry Mahan? He always turned the conversation back and let you do the talking so he could listen and find out what's going on with you. That's how you go minister to the people. Find out. Listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to them. Christ became obedient to the Father. That's how you're going to serve. Be obedient to Christ who sent you. Listen to this now. How you obey Christ and follow Christ in the church, in your home, and in your life is going to directly affect those around you being able to hear the words you preach and follow your example. It's going to directly affect it. Be blameless, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, no striker, patient, not a brawler, given to hospitality. The best way to lead, I didn't make this statement up, I wish I did, it was a general. He said the best way to lead is not to say go, is to say come. You don't lead by sitting back here and telling people, go do that. You lead by, you go do it and say, come on. That's how you lead. If there's something needs to be done, Kevin Thacker ought to be the first one doing it. If there's something needs, we need to make an offering, Kevin Thacker will be the first one making the offering. And now I'm saying, let it interfere with your studying. You might have to stay up later and burn a midnight oil. But I'm just saying, don't ever ask these people to do something that you won't do first. Don't ever. Henry used to say, as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. That's true. As goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. And listen to this, one last thing. Christ became obedient even to the death of the cross. It's easy to lay down our life when things are good. But the faithful pastor is going to lay down his life when things are hard. And he's got a cross to bear. Endure afflictions. Faithful pastors need a thick skin and a callous tongue so you can bite on it a lot. A lot. Christ bore our sins. He bore our judgment. He bore our curse. He bears our ignorance. He knows right now we're just dust. So bear the burden. The church should support a pastor. But don't you ever live so as to burden this church. Don't ever do that. Cut out every expense you got to cut out so that you don't burden them. And by these things, Christ saved his people and he exalted the Father. And when it was time, the Father exalted him. The Father exalted him. In every situation, humble yourself that Christ may exalt you in due time. Don't exalt yourself. You exalt Christ. You humble yourself. You exalt Christ. And wait on Christ. And he will exalt you in due time. He'll make it effectual in the heart. He'll make the brethren love you. He'll make them respect you. He'll make them follow you as you follow Christ. Stand between the sheep and the wolf. Feed them and stand between the sheep and the wolf. Here's what I'm telling you. Y'all be turning to 1 Peter 5. I'm going to end with this. And here's what I'm telling you and everything I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm telling you. When I was headed to New Jersey, and I stopped off and I talked to Brother Henry Mahan. And Brother Mahan, the last words he said to me was, he said, Clay, love them to Christ. That's what I'm saying. And everything I'm saying here, you know, you love your wife. And you don't have to have a bunch of rules and regulations. You don't have to be told all this stuff to love her. Why? You love her. You do all these things right here for her. Why? You love her. If you love them, you won't have to. You won't. It'll be good for you to read over these notes. It'll be good for you to listen to this sermon. But you'll do everything that I'm saying. And it'll just be natural for you to do it because you love them. That's what I'm saying. Love them. Now let me read this and we'll end. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read this. I think this whole thing here would be good for us to read too, down to verse 10. Listen to this. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That means steadfastly look into Christ. Knowing, don't forget this now, the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't ever think, poor pitiful me, nobody knows how I'm feeling. We like to be proud about our suffering, don't we? Your brethren are suffering the same thing. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank You for sending Brother Kevin here and for giving the brethren here a heart for him and him a heart for them. We pray, Lord, that You'd make these words now to truly be effectual in his heart and their hearts. Lord, bless this work. We trust that this is You giving for the first time a faithful pastor. And we trust, Lord, that You'll bless it. And we ask You to bless it. Be with Brother Kevin as he makes mistakes and teach him through those mistakes and teach the brethren through them. And cause one another's hearts to be tender toward each other. Cause each of them to have much long suffering and kindness and love for each other. And Lord, cause him to preach Christ high and lifted up. And cause him to preach sinners down in the dust. And bless it, Lord, for Your honor, for Your glory. Make this a work where Your light shines. Make this a work where You're exalted. And Lord, if there be some lost sheep in this area, we pray You'd call them out through Your gospel. We pray You'd establish this work and truly add to it daily such as should be saved. Be with Kimberly. Bless her. Give her a heart with the women and them a heart with her. Help her to know how to speak and what to do and be with the children. Lord, this is Your work. We trust it into Your hand. We thank You for what You've done. Thank You for Christ our Redeemer. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.